This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Facing imminent war, we are all on edge. We're going to talk with a supporter of the war and an opponent of it who agree that we're facing great uncertainty. In a few minutes, we'll hear from former war correspondent Chris Hedges, who opposes the war. First, we'll hear from Michael Ignatieff, who supports the war. He's the director of the Carr Center for Human Rights Policy at Harvard University, where he's a professor of human rights practice. He's traveled to and written about conflicts in Serbia, Croatia, Bosnia, Rwanda, and Afghanistan. His writings include Virtual War, Kosovo and Beyond, and The Warrior's Honor, Ethnic War and the Modern Conscience. You're in favor of war with Iraq. Let me just ask you to kind of briefly give us your overview of why you support war.
Well, nobody in their right mind supports war. You can only support it if you can't conscientiously think of any other way to go. And I can't believe in a sustained inspections regime because it depends on the threat of force. And three Security Council members have already threatened to veto pretty well any use of force in this situation, and therefore the inspections have no credibility long term. We will be back within months in exactly the same situation we were in the 90s, and it's for that reason that I think we've come to a moment of truth. But in my heart of hearts, my heart sinks at the risks that we may be entertaining here. I don't want to support the war on the happy proposition that it's going to be a 72-hour wonder. The truth is we have absolutely no way of knowing what's going to happen. It may be very easy at the start, and it may be very difficult around Baghdad. And so support for the war, I think, has to be qualified with a strong sense of unease at the cost we may have to pay before victory is won. And I think it's dishonest in a way to support the war on any other basis than, I suppose, deep alarm.
Have you ever been in support of a war before? And you're too young to have lived through World War II and taken a stand. So we're eliminating World War II from that.
Well, I strongly opposed the war in Vietnam because I thought that while there was a defensible moral goal, that is defending the Republic of South Vietnam and its right to remain democratic, I thought the price was just exorbitantly high. This regime couldn't survive on its own, and 58,000 lives, American lives, and a million Vietnamese was just too high a price to pay. I have supported the operation in Bosnia, in Kosovo, and in Afghanistan, and what I draw some heart from in the current or in the impending conflict in Iraq is that in those three cases, Bosnia, Kosovo, and Afghanistan, I think we can say, looking history in the eye, that the use of American force has made things better for the people of the countries concerned. Not wonderfully better, not paradise, but better. Fewer people are dying. Fewer women are being abused.
Now, a difference between the Iraqi situation and Kosovo is that we will probably be an occupying force in Iraq for some time to come. Are you concerned about how that will change the nature of the United States and our relationship to democracy and our relationship to the Middle East and the Gulf?
Well, yes, there are all kinds of worries in that domain, but we ought to be truthful. We've been an occupying force in Bosnia, Kosovo, and Afghanistan. There wouldn't be stability without the presence of American troops in all three places. I don't think in those three places we've confiscated the right of the peoples in question to rule themselves. My understanding of the battles within the U.S. administration about who should run Iraq after a successful operation, the balance has now shifted towards support for transferring authority back to the Iraqis as soon as possible. I certainly don't support this operation on the basis of a permanent, occupation of Iraq by American troops. I support it only on the basis that they create security conditions that would allow the Iraqi people to, rebuild their institutions, take the place back, run it as they please, use their oil revenue for their own purposes and for their own national development. That's the only basis upon which I could conceivably support this. And nobody wants America to turn into a permanent imperial power in the Middle East. But the hard realities are, and this is the reality that I think has to be faced, is that the only real chance that Iraq has to become a decent society is through American force of arms. Just as painful as it is to admit it, the only chance that Palestinians have of getting a state in the West Bank and Gaza is through American pressure. And that's the reality. I wouldn't support any use of force by America that didn't eventually end up in increasing the net freedom of the two peoples in question. It's because I believe that it will increase their freedom that I'm prepared to support it. Again, with my heart in my mouth, with a sense of unintended consequence, with a sense of all the risks that may ensue.
You support war with Iraq because of weapons of mass destruction and also for humanitarian reasons. But are you concerned that the United States, after going to war with Iraq, will be so hated around the world and hated not only by terrorist groups that already hate us, but that we'll be making new enemies in countries that neighbor Iraq and even in countries that we think of as our allies?
I think this is one of the costs of war that we have to think very seriously about. All that I can say is that it's one of the reasons why in everything I say about this war, I say that there has to be a linkage between reestablishing democracy in Iraq and reestablishing democracy and a state for the Palestinian people. I think if those two goals could be accomplished, and accomplished with real presidential tenacity, there is a chance that we can draw the sting of some of this anger and some of this resentment. Let me add one further thought here, which is the only silver lining I can see in what I concede is a very dark set of clouds. I think this administration has been taught a very painful lesson in the cost of American unilateralism. I don't believe, unless I'm very deluded, that anybody in this administration is in a hurry to run these risks again, because even the most tough-minded conservative, Wolfowitz, Cheney, that kind of person, now sees that when America uses force in this way, there are substantial costs in terms of multilateral alliance strength, in terms of commitments from friends. There's been a lot of damage done to American prestige by the use of this unilateral use of force. And I think they're going to have to reassess the whole way in which America backs its commitments with force in the future.
Michael Ignatieff is the director of the Carr Center for Human Rights Policy at Harvard.